WABF 1480. WABF1480.com. Quick, name that tune. From what TV show was that from? Do you remember? The Rockford Files. Taking you back now, aren't we? That's what we do with our great music and memories. It is now 829, 78 degrees, as we welcome Baldwin County School Board Superintendent, Baldwin County Public School Superintendent, Eddie Tyler. Good morning, Coach. That's what everybody calls you, right, Coach?
Good morning, Lori. Yes, I never shy away from that.
And do you mind, since there's such an influx of newcomers to our area, let's hear your story, because you were a coach in Baldwin County.
Yes, I was.
Many years before you came to the rescue as superintendent.
I guess I'll fast forward to when I came to Baldwin County.
Okay.
In 1987 from Murphy High School. Coach Dean brought me over. I was here at Fairhope for a few years, the old Fairhope. Then they opened up Daphne High School in 89, and I was fortunate enough to be the first AD head coach there for 5 years, and then went to Robertsdale High School for a short period of time as a teacher and a coach. Then I came back to the new Fairhope High School, and it was right before Coach Dean passed away in the spring of 96, I believe. So I was at Fairhope High School as an athletic director, head coach, and assistant principal. Mr. Newton placed me there. So I was at Fairhope for 7 years with Mr. Knight and Miss Dawson. Left there and went to Gulf Shores High School. Had a great run there for 5 years, really enjoyed it. And then I got a call to come to central office as assistant superintendent and stayed there 4 years, and then left and went to Eufaula City as superintendent for 3.5, and then was blessed to be back here in 2015, October 1st, and I'm still standing.
And it's been a good ride. Your contract keeps being renewed. You're doing something right.
I hope so.
So now you're busy with graduations, and I see they're ongoing, and you're streaming all of those. Tell us about that.
Yes. We started that, I believe, during the COVID period, mm-hmm. and we just decided to continue that. I think it's good for a lot of people who just really don't want to mingle into the crowds, whether it's COVID or not, but they're comfortable in the comfort of their home. So we continue the live streaming. Last night I was at Robertsdale High School's graduation. Tonight I'll be at Orange Beach High School's first graduation class. And then tomorrow night at Fairhope High School. And then Thursday night at Baldwin County High School. And mixed in with that during the daytime hours are our virtual school graduation.
Okay. And the virtual school has grown quite a bit over the years, especially as a shoot-off from COVID, right?
Correct. Our virtual high school, which was 912, was very successful prior to COVID. In fact, they were the only virtual school in Alabama to receive a grade of A, and we were very proud of that. When the COVID hit, we wanted to keep our parents here and not let them go off to the state-run virtual school. So we created the elementary virtual. Of course, K-12 exploded to about 6,000 or 7,000 students. It was difficult. We were able to make it through. We are recovering from that now. Both of our schools, we have a virtual K-8, and then we have a virtual 9-12. You have to maintain at least 250 students for it to be a cost center, and you get assistance from the state. So our numbers right now are probably around 300 or a little bit better in both, maybe, and we just want to keep those strong, and we want to bring the quality of the virtual school back to pre-COVID.
Mm-hmm. And this school system, I'm looking at the Facebook page, over 32,000 students.
And growing.
And growing,
you know,
of course.
Our ADM this past October, you know, you do your 20-day report.
What's ADM?
Report, average daily membership.
Okay.
Something you report to the state every fall.
And that creates the funding.
And that creates mm-hmm. the funding. We had an influx of about 1,200 students. I think they're coming back. We have a lot of homeschoolers that enjoy our virtual school, but also know that our brick and mortar are good schools. So right now we're growing. I don't think we can keep up with the neighborhoods, but we're trying, and we're very successful there.
Senator Chris Elliott, or was he commissioner then, he attempted to create legislation that would require them to consult with the schools concerning the growth and approving new neighborhoods. What happened? Refresh our memories on that.
Well, I think when there was a subdivision of 900 plus early on in my tenure back here that was getting ready to land off of 181, that concerned us. Of course, you know, you might have 900 that are going to be built, but it might take you, you know, 8 to 10 years to build out. But we seem to be building out faster in most of our neighborhoods. It was to maybe bring the school system to the table to be able to be a part of the Planning Commission's discussion on growth and can the system handle it, because you bring your utilities to the table, you bring other entities to the table to discuss you know, the new neighborhoods coming in, but the school system has never been included. Now, lately we've been able to go to a couple of Planning Commission meetings and voice some concerns, and we're very grateful of that. But we get really no official notification way in advance, so that we can at least make a plea, a request, that if you'll just hold off for 2 years, we can plan and start building a school. But, you know, just like Bell Forest, we're in that school, what, 2 years now, maybe? Three? Bell Forest is pushing capacity, and now we've got to figure out what to do.
And this is just on the heels of, what, 2 years ago of redrawing the districts and the attendance in order to accommodate the so-called future growth.
Absolutely. That's the only tool I have in my toolbox, is to redistrict. I have no bring no pleasure in uprooting families that have maybe been in a particular district since their child was in elementary school. But sometimes it has to happen. There's never any guarantees we give that when you land in the Fairhope School District that you will forever remain in the Fairhope School District, because there might have to be some redistricting. And we redistrict the whole Eastern Shore from Fairhope all the way down to Malbus. It was very successful. Our citizens and parents were very patient with us, but I think we gave a lot of information. Since I've been back, we've probably done about five redistricting. I think in the 25 years I was here before I left, I might have remembered one. So it's never pleasant, but we have to get it done.
And speaking of growth, how get us up to date on the groundbreakings and the new construction that's been going on maybe this past year.
Correct. We broke ground on Stonebridge, you know, a year and a half or so ago.
And where is that?
Stonebridge is off 31, just outside, just north of Spanish Fort. It's between Stapleton and Malbus. Beautiful school in the Stonebridge subdivision. That will open this fall. We just purchased some land to start construction on the new Silver Hill Elementary. Very good school, but it's tired. It's had a lot of good years, but we're going to build a brand new Silver Hill school. We've just added an addition to Daphne Middle. We added the ninth grade academy at Fairhope High School a year ago, and the ninth grade academy at Daphne High School will open this fall. It still creates a large school, but it takes the main a lot of traffic off the main footprint. So your high school will be 10, 11, and 12, and your ninth graders will be housed right next door. You might have 400 or 500 of them, but they still participate in all high school activities.
It's a transition from middle to high.
Yes, kind of. The board has supported me in that transition. I just feel like ninth graders needed another year to mature socially, emotionally, physically, before they were walking the halls with juniors and seniors. I just think they needed that time to adjust, and our board has agreed with me.
And that's a model that's proven effective in other states and other districts.
From my understanding,
yes.
And the Fairhope model right now is going great. Daphne High School will open soon. I've talked to all of our high school principals. I can't build a standalone building for every high school. Some have space, so I'm asking them by the fall of 23 to have a dedicated ninth grade schedule in your building so that you can transition ninth graders without transitioning with the general population.
Okay. Do we have scholarship figures yet of how many scholarships students have received this year?
We don't. That should come out at the end of this week from Ms. Patrice Davis, And I was at Robertsdale High School's graduation last night, and Principal Joe Sharp did throw out a figure that Robertsdale seniors appear to have accumulated over $4 million in scholarships. Now, that's their numbers, and I know they'll send those to Miss Davis, and then we'll get the official number.
Quite impressive.
We're proud. We're Baldwin proud of what we're doing.
Tell us about, as a superintendent, you hear so much about Common Core, stop Common Core, remove Common Core. What is your stance, and how is it presented today in the Baldwin County Public School System?
Well, we have state standards. You know, as far as adopting Common Core countywide or statewide, I think our state adopted their standards, and then there was some Common Core included. But in general, we are bound by whatever the state dictates. We can't create our own curriculum separate from what's required by the State Department of Education. But, you know, a lot of people, older generations, don't like the Common Core math, you know, and other things. I think that we've pushed through so many years with this. Some people want to make the argument that our students are not any brighter than they were before we got into Common Core. Some say that it is paying dividends. Right now, we're just going to educate our children based on state standards and the standards that have been created, and we feel like that we're doing a pretty good job of that. We pushed through COVID, Lori, never shut our doors. Yes, has there been a little bit of a setback for every school system across the nation, but ours has been less impacted. We're just starting to see some light coming out of post-COVID, and our numbers will go back up.
I recently shared an article, and forgive me for not remembering the source, naming the top 25 high schools in Alabama. Mm-hmm. And in the top 10, surrounded mostly by city school systems, is Fairhope High School.
And I believe Fairhope Middle School.
Okay.
I believe Fairhope Middle School was in that top 10, or I know the top 25. And they're just a great example of what's taking place in all of our schools. And I was talking to a principal in a part of our county who said, you know, when people judge us, don't judge us on, say, Fairhope High School or Daphne High School or something like that. Judge us on the results. Judge us on our growth. Judge us on what we're able to do, because our dynamics might be a little bit different than Fairhope or Spanish Fort or Daphne, and they're right. So we want to judge all of our schools based on what they have to overcome to achieve excellence in academics. And we're seeing tremendous improvements in our high schools across the county.
And do you mean by the standardized testings and gradings of rankings? Tell us a little bit about
that. I think that our ACTs, we have a wonderful ACT program that has been put in place in all of our high schools to prepare for the ACT. It's a search program. In fact, Baldwin County High School, I think, increased their ACT scores of 21 or better by 60 to 80 students this past year. And that's still dealing with COVID. So Fairhope High School continues to excel. Robertsdale High School is coming on strong. All of our schools are doing a great job. So this is the first year back now with the new test in the grades 3 through 8. Because they were delayed during COVID, so we're interested to see what our scores look like this from this spring in this ACIP.
Okay, how have the splits? Is it what Gulf Shores and other couple of other schools have split from the county?
Right.
How does that affect the county and funding?
Well, I've always said I hate to see members of a family leave. You know, we wish them well. Which are much success. Gulf Shores took a while to get that accomplished, but I know they're well on their way to where they want to go. You know, there were some benefits financially to us, but at the time, there wasn't legislative measures in place to protect county system in Baldwin County from breakoffs, to where we received very little money from a breakoff of a city. And Senator Elliott pushed through some legislation strictly for Baldwin County, that if you're going to break off from the county system, that, you know, the monies that you would owe the system or a lot greater than what Gulf Shores had to go through. And it has something to do with your value of the depreciation in buildings and other things. So with Orange Beach, I have a great relationship with Mayor Kennan. I always have had, and with this past 7 years has been very good with him and the city council. But they've felt like it was an opportunity to take a journey they've been wanting to take for a long time. But financially, we will receive some big benefits financially from that break off.
They have to buy the building and the Correct. Buses and whatever else they're using.
Well, a lot of things the state says you will give to them, like a certain number of buses.
Okay.
You know, some resources. We've talked about computers. You know, personnel is, if you want to stay in the Orange Beach system, you apply for a position there. If you want to stay with Baldwin County Schools, you look for positions that are advertised and cast your name to get an interview. So, but financially, it's going to be a big amount of dollars to Baldwin County Schools. And so, we'll throw that back into our schools.
Okay. What would you like to mention, Coach, that I have not thought to ask about?
Well, you know, we're very excited about the mega site that has come in, and I was at several of those events a week or so ago with Novellus. That, to me, it's going to be a game changer, I think, for just life in Baldwin County, not just for North Baldwin.
You're talking about the $2.5 billion steel plant that's going to be built on the Baldwin County Industrial Site and the ensuing growth of something. You're going to have to build more schools.
Correct. You said it about as well as I could say it. You know, and then we're hoping this July to maybe break ground on our Career Tech Academy. We've been working for 4 years on that. We've received some additional funding, so we're going to present something to the board again Thursday at the work session about where we are. Our superintendent breakfast Friday morning. Lee Lawson is going to speak to those that come more about Novellus and what they bring to the system. And that's going to be a financial benefit to our school system, too.
Is this a tech academy that's going to be in Bay Minette or Stapleton?
The Career Tech Academy, we haven't got an official name yet, is on 59 between Stapleton and Loxley.
Okay.
Beautiful piece of land. You can't miss it when you pass. They're doing a site prep now. We hope to have a groundbreaking July, maybe August, and open the doors in fall of 2024.
So would there be specific training on steel?
There will be. We have been with, well, hopefully Novellus liked what we were doing. That might have helped their landing here because they need workers trained. But we've been talking with Airbus. We've been talking with Austal. We've been talking with Infirmary Health, USA Health, Infinity, all of these companies that we're asking to be a part of this to train young people. So it'll be a 10 through 12 school. You go there all day. At the end of the day, if you want to go back to Robertsdale High School and play in the band or play sports, then go.
Impressive.
Comprehensive high school.
How is that different from the facility next to the airport here in Fairhope, that school?
Well, that's more or less kind of like one of our aircraft. We're in partnership over in Mobile. Airbus is in partnership with us. But this is students kind of like going to one of our career tech centers, north and south. You know, you go there for part of the day. You're not there all day, and then you go back to your school and take your other classes. At the Career Tech Academy, you take your core classes, you take everything there, as well as workforce-ready classes. There'll be allied health there. There'll probably be some automotive, and naturally, I think Novellus with their aluminum would. Now we've identified a big player in the region, and we'll see what we can do to accommodate them.
Very impressive. Mm-hmm. It's important to train them to stay in Baldwin County, move away.
But you know, if you're a sophomore and you're thinking about medical school, you can go to the Career Tech Academy for 3 years and be part of the biomedical, the allied health. Then say you want to go to Auburn or Alabama or someplace to go to medical school, you enter, and you enter the School of Medicine. You know, I mean, so nothing says you have to go from the high school to Austell or to Airbus or any place like that. It's going to be a place where it's going to help you prepare for a career, and that career might be in medicine.
Very good. Thank you. Anything else?
No, we're just excited. We've got about a little bit over a week and a half left. I think our teachers are on ready to hug our children as they leave the door K-12 and then get on to enjoy their summer. But, you know, it's never done because teachers are constantly doing professional development all during the summer. It's not like it was 20, 30 years ago.
Yes. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We're proud of our school system and everything you and your staff have done to make it.
Thank you, Lori. We appreciate it.
Baldwin County School Superintendent Eddie Tyler here on Community Contact. If you missed part of this or you'd like to tell a friend, you can listen later at WABF1480.com.